We're the sneaky cinnamon scroll you just have to have. Even though you already ate a big breakfast with extra hash browns and 3 coffees.
You'll eat until you explode.
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Oh, Alex Dyson. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, not too bad today, my friend. My cut on my hand is healing pretty well. There were 2 separate occasions where I sat down to play some Xbox, and I'm like, well, I've got to turn this straight off. I can't play at all. My razor going into my thumb has ruined my strafing capabilities, it's healing now. I did get a game in, and our team got 8 kills, and the other team got 50. So Dyson chipping in with 2 out of that, and we got absolutely destroyed. So there we go.
Well, speaking of people killing it, these guys are on the show today. The perfect life does not exist.
Kiss me, it's nice to be alive. She only loves me when I'm
there. One of the most impressive bands in Australia. They have released 6 albums, or the 6th one's about to come out. I mean, they've stuck together. That is a feat in itself. You and I know, Alex Dyson.
Yep.
That we've seen many bands come and go in those years, you know. Mm. You especially, 7 years on Triple J, you would have seen many. But to stick together, to release incredibly, like, poetic, catchy, awesome tracks, such great live performers. Yeah, Ballpark Music and getting me on the show. And we can't wait to chat to Sam and Dean from that band.
We're also talking to someone else who's killing it right now. He's the chairman of the Port Adelaide Football Club. We finished top of the ladder, 1 through to the prelims. Okay, he's on the Sunrise TV show and has, speaking of longevity, 18 years worth for this gentleman. Mr. David Kosh is going to be on the show. Koshy joining us, and we want to pitch him, amongst other things, a very simple question. Is our producer, Bron Wise, to invest all her money in a company she knows nothing about but shares her name, BRN.
we might try and go down the same track.
Yeah, he started as a financial analyst. You've got plenty of podcasts about it, you can check out on the Podcast One Australia app. But yeah, will Koshy approve of our producer's investing portfolio strategy? You'll find out what he says in a moment.
Let's get stuck into it. This is Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Now, Matt, very excited to get our next guest on the line. We've been talking investing this week, and when we talk investing, we go with the best. Mr. David Kosh, he's got a TV show at the top of the ratings. He's got a footy club at the top of the ladder, so we want him to help us get our investments sky high. Mr. David Kosh. Koshy, hello.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's very good to have you, Koshy, because during the week we thought we'd lost you from our screens. What was going on with that Instagram post?
I'm just thanking everyone for having me for 18 years. would you believe I was asked to fill in on Sunrise for 3 months and 18 years later, still doing it. So it was sort of the 18th anniversary of doing it. So they haven't got rid of me yet.
Okay, that's excellent to hear. That's great to hear, Koshy, because it's interesting. Like, people like Matt and myself growing up watching on the television has been great. Any highlights from over the distance that you can pick out?
Oh, God, there are so many. Doing Anzac Day from the Kokoda Track Memorial. Ooh. First time anyone's ever done that live. From Papua New Guinea, we had to chopper in a generator and a satellite dish to get out of there. We're the first show ever to broadcast live from Antarctica, one of our research bases there.
Well, as a flat earther, Koshy, I don't believe that. But but anyways, I'm sure the studio out at our Tarman or whatever, I'm sure your studio was good enough to fake it.
and then I walked on the moon.
Yeah. Just you're right. He has done it all, including watching your Port Adelaide Football Club win their qualifying final. This must be great for you. But was it tempered by the fact that you were forced to sit next to Sam Mack, your weather host and good friend of All Day Breakfast?
Yes, it was. He had never been to Adelaide Oval to see a game of AFL, which I was stunned because he talks up this affiliation with the Adelaide Crows so much. I thought, he was sort of but part of their team, basically. And so it came along to us, and all he did was take photos, not interested in the game whatsoever.
He's hungry for the likes on the gram, mate.
Exactly right. His whole life is run by the gram, and he and Chris Brown. I reckon there's something going on there, because they must spend hours on a weekend doing their Instagram posts together and their little songs and stuff like that.
He hasn't tried to talk you into doing a Sam Acoustic session, has he, where you sing covers together?
Oh, God, no.
What would you sing? What would Koshy sing if you had to do karaoke?
What you know is true. I love you.
Oh, he does it every single weekend when the Port Adelaide crew go to have
Tear us apart. I went to school with the NXS guys.
So what, seriously?
They were our local band. I grew up on the as a teenager, Dad got transferred from Adelaide to Sydney, and we lived at French's Forest. And how about this? At our local pub, the two resident bands that would swap around, sort of the Antler at Narrabeen, was NXS and Midnight Oil. So I grew up with those guys, and it was a great time.
Oh, you were spoilt in the day there. That's incredible.
We certainly were.
Yep. Well, Koshy, thank you for chatting to us in a big week. We've been talking a bit of finance this week, not least of which because the budget came out. And I know you had your big interview with Scott Morrison on Sunrise this week as well. How did you see, well, I guess his responses, but also the budget as a whole?
Look, I thought the budget was pretty good, because this recession, okay, we all remember the global financial crisis, 2008, 2009. This recession is 45 times bigger than the global financial crisis. That's how bad this recession is around the world. It's just frighteningly bad. And the way our government, and because our economy was pretty strong going into this, has handled it, just poured money to keep people in jobs and keep businesses open, is exactly the right thing to do. And it was the same with the budget last night. Now, everyone's going shrieking about the level of government debt. And yes, the number by itself is big, but compared with the size of our economy, it's easily manageable. And you know what? They're borrowing money at less than 1% interest. Now, I reckon if I could borrow money at less than 1% interest, I'd be going into hock as well.
That's interesting. Yeah,
that is cheap money.
I don't know if their bank could lend me $82 trillion or whatever, though.
Exactly.
Now, Koshy, we were talking about stocks and shares yesterday.
Yeah, love
it. We want to get a bit of, a tip from the master. Because
you've got a few podcasts relating to this. Either the Podcast One Australia app or wherever you get your podcast, David Koch gives you the business. But there's an interesting technique that's come to light on the All Day Breakfast Show that we'd like to run past you.
Okay.
Yes. Now, our producer Bron decided to invest in $500 worth of shares based purely on the letter code that they had?
See, the acronym.
It was BRN, and her name is Bron. So she thought, oh, well, I'll invest. Now, as far as investing goes, is this something that you would, is this a technique that you would encourage?
No, I wouldn't. But she was actually close to pulling something off really good, because BRV is Breville, the kitchen appliance maker, whose share price is up 50% since the start of the year.
Bron, why weren't you called Brov? That's so annoying.
She almost snagged it in getting a bloody good stock that everyone loves at the moment.
Well, it is. People get lucky on the share market, not least of which wasn't the company Zoom. That came in, the share price went through the roof, but it was the wrong Zoom. People were investing in the wrong Zoom, and the actual video communications company stayed pretty reasonable, and the other one shot up.
Yeah, Zoom video went nowhere. Zoom Technologies went through the roof, and it was something completely different. So, look, my advice is there is an investment streaming network called AusBiz, AusBiz. It covers the share market from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, and at midday every day, there's a show called The Call, and it analyzes 10 stocks that are suggested by viewers, puts them to two share market experts whether to buy or hold or sell them. And I love it because I host it. So
that is. Well, we will get on that because we were thinking, you know, potentially, Koshy, that Matt and I could buy some stocks under the same guys and we could see whose name right. ruled the stock market. So I was thinking of going ALX for Alex. Matt could be MAT or you go MTT.
Yeah, I'd go probably right. MTT.
If you were doing your name, Koshy, what would it be? COH, COC, CCKCH?
DAV, I'm trying to think of one that is relates to a really good code.
That's cheating, man.
That you can buy.
Well, if you were doing David and you went DVD, you'd be in Dover Motorsports, and they have absolutely plummeted in the last 6 to 7 months, Koshy.
Plenty of great tech stocks around, but, well, if you're in Zip and Afterpay, you would have made an absolute fortune in the last 2 years. I was in a little startup called Pocketbook and was a seed investor there. They sold out to Zip, and I got cash and shares from a share from Zip. And I thought, oh, no, this is too risky for me. So I cashed in at $2 only to see Zip go to 11. Thanks very much.
And I reckon you weren't doing any little $500 investing either, were you?
From a seed will grow, Matt O'Connor. Yeah, that's what we love.
A lot of these businesses that you look at and are familiar with every day are listed on the market, and they're generally good stocks.
All right. Well, look, I've never invested, but I think I might give it a go. I'm going against your word, Koshy. I am not listening to the expert. I'm going MTT. That's what I'll be doing.
We'll see how we go. But Koshy, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Best of luck to Port Adelaide for the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good idea. Thanks, guys.
Coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
A seventh coffee never hurt anyone.
Now I feel a buzz.
Alex Dyson, we chatted earlier this week about Donald Trump's very brief mania, really, outside the hospital after he was diagnosed with COVID-19 and jumped in the car with the Secret Service and you know, did the little lap around to wave to everyone in his mask.
He was contagious. Like, he tested positive. He's in the grip of this disease, which, as we've seen, highly contagious around the world. He's in an airtight vehicle, which did lead it to be a COVID-19 Dutch oven, as Matt eloquently described it as, which led us to, you know, talk about if you needed to crack a window for that, get some airflow through it.
Because you would. If you were, I mean, even the most professional security guard would have wanted to just stick the lips up to the crack in the window. Just breathe a bit of non-COVID-y air. But alas, they could not. So, yep, Alex Dyson told a story about some off milk in a small school bus called The Dupe that had caused a serious pong and a necessary opening of windows. And we've got Tash from Adelaide on the phone who's also had to crack a window. Now, Tash, you had a truly bizarre situation happening.
Okay, so I was brand new to beekeeping, and I headed down about an hour away from home to pick up three nucleus, or nuke as they're called in the beekeeping world, which is like a queen bee and her colony of bees.
Oh, like the nucleus of a colony.
Yep. So,
how much are we talking for a queen bee here? You know,
what's street price for a queen bee?
I think I paid about $150 for a nuke. So yeah, this is like the queen and her bees. And they come in a little transport box, which is fully sealed. So I had three of those in the back of my little SUV vehicle.
I am thinking about Donald Trump as the queen bee in the Secret Service as his little worker bees around him now. Okay, so I'm picturing it well here, Tash. What happened then?
So I'm driving, I'm about 20 minutes into the journey, and all of a sudden I noticed there was a bee flying around the car, and it sort of landed in my hair. And I just thought, okay, just one bee must have got out, it's all good, no drama, keep driving. And then another one and another one. And after a couple of minutes, I had bees flying up the pants of my legs and down my shirt and flying all around the car.
You just look like Candyman driving along.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's like a movie, Tash.
It was not fun. So I just stayed calm because bees feed off your energy. So
wait,
I just
so you didn't pull over? You just kept...
No. As soon as I could find a safe spot, I pulled over. Oh,
okay, thank goodness.
yeah. Luckily, I was on a rural road, so I jumped out the car and ripped up all of my clothes and just down to my underwear and got all the bees out of my clothing and figured out how they'd gotten out of one of the little boxes, but unfortunately I had no way of sealing it back down, so I just threw a jacket over it and continued on for the next 40 minutes all the way home with all the windows open and bees just flying around the car and flying out the windows and still flying down my shirt. So, yes.
I can't believe you literally had a bee in your bonnet. I find this very, very, this is bizarre. Yes.
Oh, man. Yes. And it must be one of those stories you tell other beekeepers when you're gathering around, you're talking about nukes and queens and that sort of thing. Oh, I remember when I was just starting beekeeping.
Yes, and I spoke to the guy who I got the bees off and he's like, yeah, that happens sometimes. And I was like, well, thanks for the warning. Thanks for the heads up. Yep.
I mean, I keep imagining, did you find them? Like, because, you know, when you go to the beach and you find sand in your jocks like a day later or whatever, were you just finding bees later on?
Oh, through my car, yes. Unfortunately, a few didn't make it.
So, yes. R.I.P. Oh, well, thank you so much, Tash. Incredible stuff.
And Tash, we'd love to keep you as our beekeeping correspondent if we ever need, if bee stories come up in the news. We'd love to give you a call back.
No worries. Excellent.
All day breakfast.
Well, Alex Eisen, the time has come to chat to some very good friends of ours. We've interviewed them a bunch over the years because they just keep bringing out damn good music.
It'll be a shame when Ballpark Music come to us and go, we've got a new album coming out. We go, we know, we listened, we're full up, I'm sorry. Because it's still good, you know?
That'll never, ever happen.
Never. Wait. Put out a stinker?
Oh, never. Honestly, they're amazing. And they're also just great to chat to. I've been looking forward to this interview all week because I thoroughly enjoyed sitting down with the boys.
They zoomed in with us. Dean was in his house. Sam was in his car. And we started off by commenting on his haircut, which was looking pretty fresh. Here it is, our chat with Ballpark Music.
I actually just got a haircut out in the burbs. So.
Oh, nice.
Wow. I haven't had one of those for quite some time.
Can I say, to be fair,
Matt is in Sydney.
I couldn't tell. It still seems, you know, like you've got longer hair than I've seen you before.
Yeah, it's like just been washed and cut. You know, it's when you leave the barber, you don't know what the to do with it.
Yeah. I'd say you've had your hair styled, not cut, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, they took me wings off the back. I was,
oh, okay. Yeah. No, yeah, you were flying, were you? Yeah. Nice one.
Are you one of those people who say no if the hairdresser goes, oh, is that good? And it's not. Would you say, oh, actually, could you do this or do that? Because I just sit there and I just cop whatever they give me and I get out and go somewhere else. What about you? Would you confront a barber?
I got my haircut today by this girl that we've known for years and she's given haircuts to all of us in the band. We've just been going to see her, you know, since forever. And she had a baby recently, so she's been out of the game for a bit. This is my first time seeing someone again that I can actually have a few words with and, like, semi-instruct on the old hair scenario. But, yeah, at the barber, they may as well just, like, start whipping me. I just sit there and shut up.
Hey, Dean, what about you? And if you're unfamiliar with Ballpark Music, Dean, you were one half of Identical Twins, your brother Dan also in the band. Did you guys ever have fights over who could get a certain haircut? You know, did you have split your haircuts?
I definitely always let him go first and then have a look and then get in the seat and go, oh, just sort of like that, but maybe a little more off the top. Yeah, anyway.
So he was like, you were like the emperor and he was like your poison taster for the food. Where he'd go into that.
literally with every aspect of our life, haircuts is at the bottom of the barrel.
That's brilliant. The sense of normality coming back to things there. How have it been? I mean, a five-piece band, that would be difficult times, trying to stay connected during all this time. Sam, how have you been able to, wrangle your bandmates together to make sure that your new Ballpark Music albums come together?
Oh, it's the golden era of Ballpark Music up in Brisbane. Jen, who actually lives in Sydney nowadays, came up just to visit. She was going to stay for like a week, and then the day after she arrived, they made Sydney a hotspot, and I think she's been here for like 3 or 4 months now. yeah, and we've just been loving it. Like, it's honestly like the old days, like how much we're getting to hang out and just rehearse in like a really low-pressure kind of, situation. It's been amazing. Obviously, in Queensland, things have been pretty good. And, yeah, I just have really loved getting to spend so much time together, and it's been challenging, of course. Like, I got to give it to our management team and stuff, like, far out. They've put a lot of plans together with us that have all just fallen in a heap over and over again. But, you know, we're a really successful apparel company now. So,
yeah, you got some pretty sick merch. I have noticed that. Some sweet hats, some sweet shirts. But, Dean, I want to ask you, you know, you guys have released a couple of songs for me personally that will have been some of my favorite music across this pandemic. You know, I think we were heading straight into quarantine at our house after coming home from a trip when Spark Up was released. But then Day and Age came out, and it was one of my partner and I's favorite song. And now with this recent one, Cherub, which sounds like this. I mean, this is I want to say a stunning return to form, but you never fell out of form. But this is it's really, really awesome stuff, and it just feels like you guys are in your element at the moment. What is different about this particular year, this particular album?
Yeah, first of all, thanks. I appreciate it. It's a good rap from you.
I didn't do anything, man. You guys made it.
Hold your opinion in high regard. In all honesty, it was you know, our kind of attitude going into the album was just to lean into every song kind of as an individual track and not worry about the record coming out sounding eclectic or all over the place. It's kind of almost like a Ballpark mixtape kind of thing, which is why you see, like, in all three of those singles so far, like, they span some pretty kind of wide areas of music, I'd say. And the exciting part is that I don't think any of the singles really give an indication of like what the rest of the record sounds like either. So I'm pumped for it to come out and hopefully surprise a few people. Have you guys heard it?
Yeah, we've had a listen. It does go to heaps of different areas. You can hear different influences coming in. Like, even at one point I was getting, Sam, did you put a bit of Julian Casablancas from The Strokes vocoder? I was getting a little bit of New York-y rock at some points in the album there.
Yeah, I feel like I know what you'd be talking about. There's like one song where I just went full Strokes vocal sound. I actually have this old microphone that was from my grandfather's minivan so he could, like, yell at people in the back.
Wait, that's a whole different story going on there. What, like, the kids mucking up, you put a speaker at the back to tell them to be quiet or something?
I think he bought it and it had the microphone already connected. I don't know. Maybe it belonged to, like, I don't know, someone militant that has to talk to the passengers in the back through a microphone. Anyway, I use that mic. It gets you the Julian Casablancas sound, like, straight off the bat.
Wow. I mean, it is great stuff. And now you guys are looking to, well, I mean, not looking to, you are doing it. You're putting on shows at the moment, which have just exploded out of control in terms of sales. So you sold out 9 shows at the Trifford. Obviously, is there limited capacity just for now?
Yeah, it's probably, it'd be about 30%, I think, maybe even less at the
But still, you sold 9 out, so divide that by 3. You still got 3 sold out shows, and then you put on more shows.
We've actually done 13 sold out now, actually.
Counting.
Better.
Yeah,
exactly. They wanted us to push it into a second week too, but we thought 13 shows in 7 days. If we did a second week, we'd be sitting down on stools and like it'd be a lackluster performance, I reckon.
That's great. And the first one of which on the October the 23rd is going to be the live stream launch show as well, so people will be able to watch it. You didn't think about putting that towards the end of it so you're in form, or where you thought first one, we'll nail it straight away?
We're always in form.
I believe
it's true. It's true. We had those discussions. There was a lot of, arming and ahhing and come on, guys, are you sure? But as always, confidently, absolutely, we're sure.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it a little bit daunting thinking about a venue that's 30%? Do you strip it back in terms of the energy? What's your vibe?
Dean and I went to the Trifford to see a friend's band play in this kind of, COVID-safe setup. We had a great night. We were just like, this is sick. We got a sick view of the band. No one tall is going to come stand in front of us. Like they're bringing jugs of beer like over to our table. Like
Sam, we're dads now. I love 30% capacity. That is my dream. Yeah, I can sit down. Like, I am loving it.
You can sit down and order a beer. It's just like being at home.
That's excellent.
So, Dean, what are you thinking in terms of the guitar? You know, you front the axe in the show. In the band, and so what are you going to be bringing? I mean,
is it going to be a sit down MTV Unplugged kind of style? You got that stool just to make the audience feel connected in that way.
Dean, what were some of our themes from yesterday? We were thinking of like theming each day. We had like,
we tried to go for alliteration, so we went like effed up Friday, but of course,
like, yeah, fair enough.
And then we went like Mad Dog Mondays. Was there like a sensitive Saturdays or something? Like maybe that day we're playing like, nice and sensitive.
Put the cardigans on.
Ukulele up there, just sort of strum it lightly. Okay. You're looking at all the live shows doing, joking about doing different stuff. But what about when you were recording? Were you, Sam had his old mic. Did you, what were you sort of experimenting with in terms of sound?
My dad bought me this banjo like ages ago, right? And it's just like a guitar that looks like a banjo. Like it's just got the guitar strings, so it's not even a fancy banjo. And I've been trying to get that thing on a record for like close to a decade, I reckon.
And I feel like you've applied minimal pressure on me to get this banjo. That's
what I'm getting to. This is a confessional that, sorry, Dad, but I don't know if I'm ever going to get it on a record. Like I've thought about it. It's hard. It's a very particular sounding thing, only way I will ever get it to work is if we run it through some crazy other sound that makes it a bit more interesting.
I think the best way to go about it is you've got to do a whole record of just that guitar. It's got to have its own world to live in. It can't start trying to visit these other worlds. You've got to give it its own island and write 10 to 12 songs just with that guitar.
Dean, have you tried playing it with a long piece of wheatgrass sticking out of your mouth?
That could be it. That's the key.
That's the only way to play banjo.
And what about lyrically with the most recent album, Sam? Because you've covered so much territory over the past and you're getting up to, what are we at? Six now, the self-titled sixth album of Ballpark Music. But there's still like let's with a few of the song titles, it's Head Like a Sieve, Nothing Ever Goes My Way. It doesn't seem like you're even six albums in, totally sure and confident in yourself there with a few. You've always been very well good at self-depreciating. How are you? What about the songs on this album, and where are you, where you're at with your lyrics in this one?
With my life. I'm less confident than I've ever been.
Oh, no, damn! What do you put that down to?
Yeah, why?
Oh, just getting older and looking worse and feeling more irrelevant all the time. It's just life just beats you down, doesn't it?
Oh, no. So, does writing songs about that is that cathartic or is it a confessional? Is it what would you describe it as?
If you feel it, then why feel ashamed or try and dodge the feeling, you know? I guess that's almost the main rule of the band. It's just to like run with whatever feeling you've got in the songs.
Dean, Toma, tell us about Cherub because it is the current single. It is one of my favourite tracks of the year. Where did this start? Did it start with Sam and then he brought to the band? Was it a riff? What happened?
Yeah, first time I heard Sam play it was we were in Cairns working on a musical up there called Laser Beak Man, which is like a puppet show, which is awesome that Sam wrote the music for, and we were the band. And we had a week in Cairns there doing a season there, and we'd just have a jam in our hotel room in our off time, and Sam sort of started playing the song and playing the riff. And over the years, there's kind of been a handful of songs that as soon as I've heard him play it, I'm like, is that yours? You know, like I'm sort of fingers crossed, I'm hoping. And then he says, yeah, it's just an idea I've had floating around. And then I'll just obsess over it for months on end. And I honestly will not let him get away until he's finished it.
It must be frustrating at times, Dean, to have, and sorry, Sam, we are going to talk about you right in front of your face, but... I mean, when you come up with a song like Cherub, to even need to prod, people work hard to come up with any decent song, to let alone just come up with one and then be willing to just let it go. Is it frustrating, Dean, to have to be like, hey, dude, this is great?
It's frustrating, yeah, but it also works in my favour eventually, you know. I just got to know how to massage it out of him. Like, I think that song, it used to have a weird, like, obscure chord in the chorus and, like, it changed. And I remember Massage just going, yeah, I reckon it's really good, man. Just lose that weird chord and just make it a little nicer and then we're in the sweet spot, you know. And then
was that reluctance, Sam? Do you not like it when Dean does that sort of stuff, or do you kind of accept that criticism graciously?
Oh no, it's fine. I really think this is like the key to how our band is a collaboration, because I like feeling like I can just write and, you know, just follow my nose wherever it goes. Some songs get finished quickly, others kick around forever, and some of them, you know, just always get left on the shelf. But yeah, to me, it's collaborative in the sense that I like to share everything, even in its early stages, with the whole band, because they're the ones who sort of like are such good friends and such good listeners who come back to you like saying, hey, this one's worth finishing off, because I'm just horrible at having perspective on what I write. I had done a demo of that song, which is essentially the first chunk of the recording that's still there today, and showed the band like, oh, hey, I did this. And they were like, this is great. And Daniel was the one who's like, hey, let's tack a massive over-the-top outro on the end of it. And, you know, then it'll be sick. And so we did that and just stitched it together. And
probably because there was no drums on it already.
They needed something to do at the end of the song, something to get played for. Oh, that's incredible. Shows the collaboration. And it's one of many songs on Ballpark Music's self-titled sixth album. It is called Ballpark Music's. Excellent. Check it out, as well as the incredible merch that you've been running, which we did reference earlier on. Gentlemen, thank you so much for checking in with us. Good luck with the 13 shows in 7 days at the Triffid. An incredible effort.
Sam and Dean, we'll catch you guys soon.
Thanks, legends.
Thanks, guys.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect. Thank you very much for listening to the show today. Thank you so much to David Koch. Thank you so much to Ballpark Music, the consummate legends, once again joining us. Oh, love those guys, Matt O'Kine.
Just the absolute best. I can't stop fawning over them. Just huge fan of everything that they do, everything that they say. Whenever they want to come back, our door is open.
Big interviews continue tomorrow. Not only do we have Darcy Moore from the Collingwood Football Club, we have this lady. That's right, G Flip is going to be joining us. She's got a brand new song. She is also of legend status, and we cannot wait to have a chat to G Flip as she joins us here on All Day Breakfast. It's pretty big music interviews this week for us, Matt O'Kine. We didn't get the biggest music exclusive of 2020, though. That honour went to Ms. Kelly Clarkson, who hosts a talk show, and this week got to debut the debut from Mr. Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel, who you may know from such films as Pitch Black from back in the day.
Yeah, Triple X.
Yeah, that's right. There's a few
He
others.
Also did, didn't he do like a, you know, one of those like ones of Channing Tatum, like a, you know, school bus sort of ones as well?
Yeah, he's been in plenty. But now he's gone into music. So we're going to do what Kelly Clarkson did on her show, albeit without the exclusive tag, and that is leave you with it. This played over the credits of the Kelly Clarkson talk show, and it had her virtual audience dancing virtually. I think they were instructed to all dance along to this song, which is coming out on Kygo's label with a little bit of help from Kygo, but it is listed as a Vin Diesel song. Okay, he's gone into music and this is his song, and neither Matt nor I have heard it. And so we're going to be hearing this along with you to leave you here on a Thursday show. Have a good one. We'll catch you for a Friday tomorrow.
I am blessed that on a year that I would normally be on a movie set, I've had another creative outlet, another way to show you or share with you my heart. I am now going to debut the first song, Feels Like I Do. I hope you like it.
Oh, man, this slaps.
I feel like I'm back on Croatia Sail Week, baby. Vin Diesel.
Am I on a beach right now? This is incredible. That is a Euro Club smash hit.
The clubs in Ibiza, if they were full, I can guarantee Vin Diesel would be all up in them. Thank you, Vin. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. We'll catch you tomorrow.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got a story we need to hear? All the links are at mattandalex.com.au.